Good morning, everyone, and welcome. Great to see you this morning. A couple of things to mention as we... Very good. A couple of things to mention as we start this morning that we're getting some updates to some of the photos for our website and Facebook and things like that. So if you see just this today and during the week, so if you see someone around sort of taking some photos this morning, that's what that's about, okay? I've just done different things, so please be ready for that. And yes, there is a piano sitting here, for those of you who are very visual people, and there's been a bit of a swap with the pianos from here, and this is the one that was downstairs in the hall and is up here now. And so there'll be some different things that we'll trial with that. That's kind of where it is, and the covering will be ultimately something will get worked on for the back of it particularly. So there might be, that's just one of the things, so over the next little while there might be some other bits and pieces that happen, and feedback's welcome, and perhaps just direct that initially to me, that would be good, and we'll see where we get to with that. So thank you. Today, now let me just see. So Palm Sunday today, and so we may have some palms. Thank you very much. You know, there are a few palm branches around, not too many. I think Coralie's palm trees remain mainly intact, I think. But during the first hymn this morning, the first song, Make Way, if you want to bring yours forward, you might want to hang on to it during the service. Please feel free to do that. You might just want to bring it forward and put it in here, or just to lay it down somewhere. Please feel free to do that during the first one, but feel free to hang on to it as well. And so we worship God. Last Wednesday was the 25th of March. 180 years ago, last Wednesday, on the 25th of March, 1846, a small sailing boat, a schooner, sailed into Sydney Harbour 180 years ago on Wednesday. On board was the captain of the schooner, which was called, and I never know how to say this word, heroine? Heroine with an E? How do you say that word? Without saying like you're some drug dealer. What was that? Heroine? Thought so. Anyway, the captain of the schooner was Captain Mackenzie, and on board is himself, on board is his crew. It included a number of other rather bedraggled-looking men, one named Calvert, one named Roper, and there were two Aboriginal men on board as well, Charlie Fisher and Harry Brown. There was another man on board as well, and his name was Ludwig Leichhardt. He and his expedition party, unfortunately minus John Gilbert, who had lost his life in the Gulf of Carpentaria, 3 months earlier, they had completed their extraordinary trek from Moreton Bay to Port Essington, which is just north of what is now Darwin. That was for Moreton Bay. He actually set out from Jimbor Station, and some of you have probably been to Jimbor Station. Anyone been to Jimbor Station, just out west of Dalby there? Really lovely place. That's where officially he set off from. They had covered nearly 5,000 kilometres, and they had been gone for 15 months. No one had seen of them or heard of them for months and months and months. They were given up for dead until that day that they staggered about 12 months later into the small outpost of Port Essington. They get on this schooner with Captain Mackenzie and they head to Sydney. And news of their arrival in Sydney spread like wildfire. Crowds and crowds of people started gathering. There was huge fervour and celebration. It was possibly the first media sensation event of its day, 1846. The crowds were tumultuous, and excitement grew as word passed around that Leichhardt and his party were alive and had arrived in Sydney. The day after this, on March the 26th, 1846, the day after his arrival, the Sydney Morning Herald, and yes, it was around then, the Sydney Morning Herald had this. The intelligence of the arrival of Dr. Leichhardt and his party spread with the rapidity of lightning through the city, and the astonishment and delight which were everywhere manifested proved how deep an interest had been taken in the fate of these adventurous travellers. It goes on to describe the scene at the King's Wharf as a perfect rush of people, desperate to see the men they had mourned as dead. Perfect rush of people. That's a day when we recall Jesus' triumphant entry into Jerusalem a week out from Passover. Not on a great white stallion, but on a donkey, the foal of a donkey. News of his arrival spread like wildfire. Tumultuous crowds gathered. They began to wave palm branches. Some lay their coats down as Jesus is welcomed into Jerusalem as king. He's not only proclaimed as a coming king, as the coming Messiah, but his very actions also reveal his claim to be Messiah, but not as the people expected. Jesus would bring peace, though not as the people expected. Some of the words that they called out are taken directly from Psalm 118, which is, including the shout, Hosanna, which is not a shout of hooray, we're glad, you know, welcome. It's a shout of save us, which is the word that we hear as we gather and begin our service on this Palm Sunday. I invite you to share in this responsive reading of some of the verses from Psalm 118. And it's one of those psalms that we hear these verses and we go, oh, I know, yeah, okay, that's familiar. And it's some of these verses that the crowd cries out to Jesus as he has welcomed. And again, I'll say the first bit up the top, and I invite you to respond with that which follows. Oh, I can't quite read that up there. I give thanks to the Lord, for he is good, his mercy endures forever. Open to me the gates of righteousness. I will go through them, and I will praise the Lord. The Lord. I will praise you, for you have answered me. The stone which the builders rejected has become the chief cornerstone. This was the Lord's doing. It is marvelous in our eyes. This is the day the Lord has made. We will rejoice and be glad in it. Save now, I pray, O Lord. O Lord, I pray, send now prosperity. Blessed is he who comes in the name of the Lord. We have blessed you from the house of the Lord. God is the Lord, and he has given us light. Bind the sacrifice with cords to the horns of the altar. You are my God, and I will praise you. You are my God, I will exalt you. O give thanks to the Lord, for he is good, for his mercy endures forever. And so we stand and sing, make way for Christ the King. And as I mentioned earlier on, if you have your palm, please feel free to hang on to it, or just come and bring it and put it in a little pot here, or just up at the front. Any of those options are excellent as we make way for Christ the King. We stand to sing. Seated. We pray. Christ entered into in triumph into the holy city to complete his work as Messiah, to suffer, to die and to rise to new life. O Lord, today we commit ourselves to continue to walk the way of the cross, so that sharing in his sufferings we may be united with him in his risen life. And so we praise you, Lord God, with heart and life and voice, not only with outward signs such as palm branches or the occasional hosanna, but with lives truly turned towards you. It seems such a distance, Lord, from this present day Palm Sunday here in Kenmore to that day when you entered Jerusalem with the shouts of the crowd ringing in your ears. Lord Jesus, welcomed as a king yet riding on a lowly donkey, greeted with cheers and exclamations which were so soon to turn to jeers and condemnation. From this side of the resurrection, Lord, we confidently believe that we could never have been part of the jeering crowd. But then we pause, we stop, and as we reflect a little more deeply, we realize the struggle to actually do that. Lord, when our words and our actions reflect a reluctance to confess you publicly as Lord of our lives, please forgive us. When we fear that humbling ourselves would be seen by us as some kind of defect in our character, please forgive us. When we have betrayed your love for us through our lack of love for you and others and for ourselves, forgive us. Lord Jesus Christ, fix your mind in us and remake us in your likeness. Empty us of all that hinders us from following you to where pain and suffering exist. Gracious and loving God, empower us with the Holy Spirit so that our lives continually glorify you and our tongues forever confess Jesus as Lord. For this we pray in his name. Amen. 1 John chapter 1 tells us that if we confess our sins, God is faithful and just and will forgive us, and that God will cleanse us from all unrighteousness. And so we hear then God's word of grace to us, that our sins are forgiven. Thanks be to God. I invite you to share a word of peace with those around you. The peace of the Lord be always with you. Amen. We stand to sing our next hymn, which is Great is Your Faithfulness, Lord, to me.
Yeah. Good morning, everyone, and welcome to service on this beautiful autumn day. One word for Lent 2026. We have come from Lent 5 life, and today are celebrating Palm Sunday. There are some services to do with Easter, and they are listed. David will be at one table from 10 till 11 on Wednesday, and we have the men's lunch on Friday and women's fellowship on Monday the 13th. Reflections articles are due on Wednesday the 8th after Easter, so that we can include Easter celebrations in that issue. Plus, everyone can have a break before Easter, which is only a four-day week. Chapel Hill is also doing some Journey to the Cross, and an Alpha course starts with them. A note from Dawn. The final figures on profit from the Coolin Classic concert is $2,724. So that is the profit. So thank you, everyone, for pitching in and helping with that event. Limes are at the back. They've been kindly donated by Lee, one of the volunteers in our shop. So there are plenty at the back, and there's an honesty box, 50 cents each for the limes. Thank you, everyone, and have a lovely week.
Thank you, Wendy. Can I encourage you to share in one of the Easter services one of the services during Holy Week? Somewhere, certainly for us here at Kenmore, it's Good Friday at 9, but there's opportunity to gather for what's known as Maundy Thursday, various places, including at Brisbane West Uniting Church, but also the Anglican Church just down the road. Really, and one of the great things about these services over Holy Week and Easter is each of them have a bit of a different flavour to them. And so I encourage you to do that. I'll head up to Chapel Hill for their journey, their walk of the cross during the week, and have some time reflecting up there on that. Also, again, just to mention this week about the little 3x3 little sheet that I've written over the last couple of weeks and this week to think about some people that you might like to invite to our Good Friday Easter Day services, and to share that in your own prayer, that one of them might come out of those three. And kind of encourage you to continue to reflect upon that. And it may be that it might be helpful, particularly for someone's going to come to Good Friday, just to do a little prep with them, because they might, if they haven't been to too many Good Friday services, they might come in and go, oh gee, it's a bit morbid, isn't it, this church stuff? Because Good Friday is, and anything like last year, as we share in the services that I lead for Good Friday, they are quite solemn. And feel free to let them know that, you know, myself, Reverend David, I'll be doing a reflection on two basins that were used in the Passion of Christ, one that Jesus used and one that Pilate used. That'll be part of the reflection. But also say that Easter Day is a very joyful time, a very joyful as we celebrate new life. So those sorts of things might be helpful as well as you have conversations with people. And Lord, just in remembering her for others, and I'm sure that will be prayed for later on in the service, but we're conscious of other people as well who are going through times of change and transition in the life of during Holy Week and Easter, may the reality of what Christ has done for us in identifying fully with us and the hope that he brings in his risen life give them and indeed each of us hope in these days. In the name of Christ. Amen. I want to share Lent event. And again, to read from the resources that Uniting World provides for this and for Palm Sunday. Today on Palm Sunday, we come to the end of our journey alongside our global partners. We've stood with our brothers and sisters in Christ in Timor-Leste, West Papua, India, Zimbabwe, and throughout the Pacific as they respond to disaster, as they plan for emergencies and build back better. As they provide food, water, and hope in communities devastated by drought or flood. This is what it means to be part of God's people, living Jesus' resurrection promise of life to the full. Thank you so much for being part of Uniting World's Lenten journey this year, and also just knowing that we support lots of different projects that Uniting World does throughout the year and certainly towards the end of the year. And this is a prayer that they provide. God of life, whose spirit breathed through all creation, we give you thanks for communities of courage and hope. Together with partners in the places that we have supported and highlighted in this Lent event, today on Palm Sunday, we recognise Christ among us, humble, hardworking, deeply present. We're grateful for the chance to work together in faith, bringing new life from dry land. For hands that draw clean water, nurture health and kindle learning, for wisdom, resilience and unyielding love, we are grateful. Please bless our brothers and sisters in uniting churches around Australia who give, pray and advocate. May our generosity weave compassion into living action. Strengthen us to walk together in justice and partnership, living the promise of Jesus' life, death and resurrection. Amen. Shortly we're going to hear the gospel reading from Matthew 21. And before we do that, to read this prayer that is a prayer for Palm Sunday. Lord Jesus Christ, who as on this day entered the rebellious city where you were to die, enter into our hearts and subdue them wholly to yourself. And as your faithful disciples blessed your coming and spread their garments in the way, covering it with palm branches, make us ready to lay at your feet all that we have and are, and to bless you, the one who comes in the name of the Lord. Amen.
The gospel reading for today comes from Matthew chapter 21, verses 1 to 11. As they approached Jerusalem and came to Bethphage on the Mountain of Olives, Jesus sent two disciples, saying to them, "Go to the village ahead of you, and at once her colt by her. Untie them and bring them to me. If anyone says anything to you, say that the Lord needs them, and he will send them right away." This took place to fulfill what was spoken through the prophet. "Say to daughter Zion, see, your king comes to you, gentle and riding on a donkey, and on a colt, the foal of a donkey." The disciples went and did as Jesus had instructed them. They brought the donkey and the colt and placed their cloaks on them for Jesus to sit on. A very large crowd spread their cloaks on the road, while others cut branches from the trees and spread them on the road. The crowds that went ahead of him and those who followed shouted, "Hosanna to the Son of David. Blessed is he who comes in the name of the Lord. Hosanna in the highest heaven." When Jesus entered Jerusalem, the whole city was stirred and asked, "Who is this?" The crowds answered, "This is Jesus, the prophet from Nazareth in Galilee." This is the word of the Lord.
We stand to sing Ride On, Ride On in Majesty, which is another one of these hymns that it's not surprising necessarily that we sing on this Palm Sunday.
Ride on, ride on in majesty. Please be seated.
Now, the first part I want to do, and I'll pray shortly. Thanks, Rosemary. The last few weeks of this Lenten journey. And to do that, so to look at some of the words that we've looked at here, and again, thank you, Marion. Thank you again for the words. And up here, temp, light, water, sight, life, and today, peace. We pray. Lord, may the words of my mouth and meditation of our hearts be acceptable to you, O Lord, our rock and our redeemer. Amen. So just want to go over where we've been during the season of Lent. And we've had these great stories from predominantly from John's Gospel, and starting with the temptation of Jesus. And they're really great stories, particularly these ones in John. They're beautifully told, they're wonderfully structured, and they're a great thing to read. But they're actually more than great stories, and that's what we've attempted to look at. And what I've wanted to suggest over these 5 or so weeks is that they actually reveal to us who Jesus is and what he's about. And that continues today in the verses that Andrew just read to us. This word reveals what I've been looking at, that Jesus reveals who he is and what God is doing amongst us. And the first one that we had was this reading from Matthew of the temptations of Jesus, Jesus being tempted in the wilderness. And one of the things that we looked at there was recognizing that Jesus is tempted as we are, but we are not tempted as Jesus is. Jesus was tempted as we are and yet did not sin. The Gospels assure us of that. But it doesn't happen the other way around. We're not tempted as Jesus was in these temptations, because these temptations are all about Jesus being tempted to go a way other than that which his Father had set out before him. And as the tempter comes to him with these 3 temptations, it's to say to him, Jesus, there's another way than the way that has been revealed to you. And Jesus resists all of them. And I noted how each of those 3 verses that Jesus quotes back to the devil is from that part in Deuteronomy where the people were failing to be God's people in the desert. And just as they failed, Jesus did not fail. He resisted and became the one true obedient, the new Israel in that sense. And that we can look to this one who is utterly trustworthy. The second week of Lent was all about light, and it was the story of Jesus and Nicodemus. Again, just this brilliantly executed story of Nicodemus coming to Jesus. And it's highlighted that he comes at night to visit Jesus. Jesus talks about he needs new life, that he doesn't just need teaching from Jesus, he actually needs a new heart. He needs a new life. He needs to be born anew. And ultimately, it was about Nicodemus moving from darkness to light. From darkness to light. And it would seem that Nicodemus does that. And I noted that at the end, at the death of Jesus, that Joseph of Arimathea, who, a bit like Nicodemus, was a secret follower of Jesus, asked Pilate for the body of Jesus and lays it in a tomb, that he and Nicodemus do that. So it would seem that at some point Nicodemus was prepared into the light, and that that's part of our call as followers of Jesus, and that he gives us the courage to do that. Week 3 was this magnificent story of the encounter of Jesus with the woman at the well. And with each of these, you could spend 3 weeks looking at this sermon, and certainly this account of the woman at the well. And the word that we had for that was indeed water, and that Jesus offers to her life-giving water. She comes for the physical water. Jesus says, I have some water where you will never thirst again. And he tells her, there's this unfolding revelation as the conversation gets deeper and deeper and deeper of who Jesus is. Because she talks about we're waiting for that Messiah, the promised one to come. And Jesus says to her, the one to whom you are speaking is he. I am he. And so she runs back and tells her whole village who she has met. And that's part of the call to us, is that we tell the new life that Jesus has given her, and also talked about of how she left her jars behind at the well, and that part of it is there's things that we need to leave behind. She left behind all of her humiliation, her shame of her life, and she leaves them in her jars behind. And that this new life that Jesus brings us, that we are able to do that as well, to leave behind the things that impact us so negatively and that we carry with us, we can leave them behind, that they no longer define us. The fourth week of Lent was about sight. It was about sight from John chapter 9, where Jesus heals a man born blind. And those of you who are on the Bible readings for this, for during Lent, you know that the readings were quite long. And so is the case for this one. It's most of John chapter 9. In fact, it's all of John chapter 9. Jesus heals this blind man and he gets interrogated. This poor bloke gets interrogated by the Pharisees, who are saying, oh, look, you weren't really born blind, were you? They call his parents in, say, yep, he was. What can you tell us of this man who healed you? And all the blind man says, well, I don't know. All I know is that I was blind and now I see. I was blind and now I see. And there was this encouragement for us to tell our story. There's also a bit about believing is seeing, that for John's gospel, believing is seeing. And faith for John works that way. But there was this encouragement for us to tell our story of our connection with Jesus. And at times when people pose some things at us that we don't know the answer to or how to respond, I encouraged us to say, well, I'm not sure about that, but I'm sure of what the impact of Jesus has been on my life, and to tell that. Last week, we had the story of life from John chapter 11 of Jesus and Lazarus. So again, so all these things are about Jesus revealing who he is and what God is doing amongst us. And indeed, last week, Jesus and Lazarus, and I focus particularly on two things, on the encounter with Martha, of where Jesus says to her, I am the resurrection and the life. Of where Martha initially says, if only you were here, Jesus, this my brother would be alive. And that at times that's our story across life, that God, where are you? If you were part of what's going on around here, this wouldn't have happened. But it also encouraged us to know, Martha says to Jesus, but even now I know that God will give you whatever you ask of him. And she was a deeply faithful person, deeply faithful. And Jesus begins to paint all the pieces of the puzzle to her, of which she only had a little bit. They were the right pieces, but Jesus gives her many, many more in saying that I am the resurrection and the life. Now, Martha, today I am the resurrection and the life. And he raises Lazarus. And although I didn't think about, reflect on it much last week, because what comes out of this story about life is, and Lazarus is raising, are there those things that need to die within us to be raised to life, that we may know something new. What needs to die ready for resurrection. And that would be a good thing to reflect upon during Holy Week. Indeed. And today, Palm Sunday, some parts of the church call Passion Sunday as well, the word is peace. As Jesus enters Jerusalem, the word peace. Which I've given the little note there about great expectations. And no, this is not a masterly dissertation on the significance of the literary contribution of Charles Dickens, but rather a glimpse into that first Palm Sunday, and particularly the expectations that people had that they wanted something, Jesus gave them what they needed, not what they wanted. I mentioned at the start today that Jesus reveals by his actions his claim to be Messiah. So he's proclaimed as Messiah, but there's things that he does here that that says, I am the Messiah. And he does them quite intentionally. Jesus is very carefully choosing exactly how this will happen. By telling, you know, by going to get this donkey and to bring it along, to all sorts of other things, that he's teaching us something about, as I had up there, who he is and what he is about, what he came to do. We hear the people cry out two things. One's Hosanna. The other thing is Son of David. Hosanna to the Son of David. And there's things like this that give us these little red light alarm bells that go off to say, okay, there's something pretty big going on here. Because Son of David is a messianic address. Son of David is about being the Messiah. So clearly the people, as they shout this out, are expecting that Jesus and proclaiming him as Messiah. Son of David was the way they talked about the Messiah, the true Messiah, the one that they've been waiting for centuries. And a couple of hundred years before this, Judas Maccabeus leads this revolt, great victory. He comes riding into Jerusalem on a horse. That didn't last, so he wasn't it. But he comes riding in on a horse. That's not what we get here. But this Son of David was the one who was going to release and rescue and free Israel from all of its problems and bring peace. Bring peace to Israel. In fact, just in the previous chapter, John chapter 20, two blind men had called out to Jesus, Son of David, have mercy on us. Son of David, have mercy on us. So the crowds gather, as I said at the very start, in our call to worship, news of Jesus arriving spreads like wildfire. There's palm branches, coats, people crying out, Hosanna. And of course, the word Hosanna means save us. I mentioned that earlier on. So we've got this messianic claim, Son of David, Hosanna, save us. Messiah, save us as you come. So all of this is loaded up with all sorts of messianic expectations. And Psalm 118 that we shared part of at the start, in which these some of these verses come from, is a messianic psalm. And we also have that all of this is taking place, not riding into Bethany or Bethpage, but into Jerusalem, the capital. So all of these, all that we read here is completely loaded with messianic expectations. And Jesus rides in, and this is where he does something very intentionally, that he rides in and he doesn't walk in. And he rides in not on a magnificent horse, but on a donkey. And as he does that, he's telling us, indeed, I'm coming to rule. I'm coming to save, but it's not in the way that you expected. Tim Keller puts it this way. He says, so he's coming in to rule and he's coming in to save, but not by taking power and killing, but by losing power and dying. He's going to die on the cross for our sins. In other words, he says, I'm going to triumph through weakness. End of quote. I'm coming by losing power and dying. That's part of what this riding in on a donkey was about. So the implication being that his followers need to recognize their own weakness and turn to this same Jesus who, in losing power and dying, brings his kingly rule, brings forgiveness, and ultimately brings life. Salvation by giving up and dying on a cross so that we can know grace and mercy and peace. What the people thought they needed was an impressive ruler who would rid them of the Romans and bring in this new era of the Messiah. What they actually needed was someone to come and to save them from themselves, as it were. Someone who would deal with their mistaken understanding of who God was for them. Someone to deal with that separation, someone to reveal the grace and mercy of God, someone who took that upon himself to deal with so that they wouldn't have to and so that we wouldn't have to. They cried out for what they wanted. Jesus gave them what they needed. They wanted peace. Jesus made the way for peace to be, but not as they expected. And that's my encouragement for us to reflect on this morning. The crowd cried out for what they wanted, but Jesus gave them what they needed. What they needed. What is it that we need as we begin Holy Week? Where, for example, do we expect peace in our lives to come from? Because Jesus did bring peace, but crikey, when we start reading what we get, we get Jesus walking into a temple, turning tables over and saying, my Father's house should be a place of prayer. You've made it a place of robbers. And this growing hostility between the religious leaders and Jesus, which culminates in the brutality of Good Friday. Now, that's not peace. Well, in our minds, it's not peace, but it's the journey to the peace that Jesus offers. Because we search for peace in all kinds of ways and places. We expect to find it in, much like the people expected to find it, in a triumphant messianic figure riding on a white steed. But no, they got a different kind of king to bring peace. There's lots of expectations upon certain leaders around the world at this time who might bring peace. Jesus says to us, here is the peace that I offer to you. Despite what is happening in the world around us, there's a different kind of king who brings peace. And we will explore that more on Good Friday. I want to finish this morning with these verses from John chapter 14. Again, John 14, 15, 16, 17 is this long dialogue between Jesus and his disciples in the upper room. He talks a lot about peace. And at one point he says this, peace I leave with you, my peace I give to you. I do not give to you as the world gives. Do not let your hearts be troubled, and neither let them be afraid. Lord God, as we come to the beginning of this most holy of weeks, help us to listen well for you. Help us to recognize those things that we need compared to the things that we want deep within our souls, and to once again turn to you as the Prince of Peace, in whose name we pray. Amen. Jenny's going to play some music, and as she does that, our offering will be received, and then we'll have some prayers for others and for ourselves. Lord God, may part of what we bring this day be the coming of peace for many, both within the life of our local community here and congregation, across this nation and into the world. Bless it for the furthering of the gospel of Christ, in whose name we pray. Amen.
I also used a little bit of the Lent Events prayer, so you've already heard the end of mine. But I thought it was very poignant. Is that the right word? So good to hear it again.
Yes, please use it again.
To our dear Holy Father, who art in heaven, thank you, Lord, for this day that you have made. We will rejoice and be glad in it, for all its morning chill and daytime warmth, for that strange sensation that something new is happening we get from a change in the air. You know, we know what to expect with the weather, at least. But as we head towards the cross with you, Jesus, we know there is a deeper change coming that begins today with crowds and donkeys and palm leaves. We can sense the season is changing. We can see the telltale signs. We aren't sure we will ever fully grasp the magnitude of the changes you are bringing, Big Brother, either then, now, or for the future. Lord God, please forgive us for our falterings when, in your good wisdom, our neat plans suddenly go off script. Lord, we are sorry we're never very good at just rolling with it, or very gracious about understanding why things don't happen in the order we'd like them to. It's a bit scary for us not to be in control of things, and you know that. Please help us to trust that you have this, Lord, and to listen to Jesus when he says everything is working for our good. Thank you for all the times you have let each of us know that you love us, and despite the challenges and the changes, you are with us, and your peace will stay with us. Please help us let tomorrow worry for itself and be present with you today, dear Jesus. Palm Sunday is great, and we're happy, and we will enjoy laughing with the crowds and waving our palm fronds as we sing. Father God, we know there is so much anxiety over the current state of the world in this room, let alone across the rest of the world. Please show us, as Christians, how we can practically be your Easter message of life and hope in these strangest of times we find ourselves in. Please help us look out for one another, and please show us who we can pray for and who we can support in our neighborhoods and communities. It's so frustrating to see our political leaders are refusing to learn from the past's mistakes. Please bless all those working for the common good on the front lines of conflicts, and please protect and keep our families overseas safe from all harm. Thank you, Jesus. For hands that draw clean water, nurture health and kindle learning, for wisdom, resilience and unyielding love, we are grateful, Lord. Bless our family around Australia who give, pray and advocate. May all of our efforts weave compassion into living action. Strengthen us to walk together in justice and partnership, living out the promise of Jesus' life, death and resurrection, now and forever. Amen. And now we say the Lord's Prayer as he taught us. Our Father in heaven, hallowed be your name. Your kingdom come, your will be done on earth as it is in heaven. Give us this day our daily bread, and forgive us our sins as we forgive those who sin against us. Save us in the time of trial and deliver us from evil. For the kingdom, the power and the glory are yours, now and forever. Amen.
We stand to sing our final hymn, At the Name of Jesus, and which looks to, I guess, Easter Day in many ways, and every Easter Day that follows from that, but ultimately to Jesus enthroned as King. Shortly we'll share in Charbar and morning tea over here, which we will continue to enjoy some time together. Also, not on Good Friday, so morning tea won't be available on Good Friday after the service finishes. Also, in regards to the videos that the service has been recorded, I'm still working on the sound, just getting the sound a bit better than what it is. That'll come in due course, okay? So we're out of Lent event envelopes, and so if you're looking for a Lent event envelope, then please use just an ordinary envelope and mark it Lent event. We'll get the necessary paperwork for credit cards and stuff to you if that's something that you are wanting to do for a blessing. May the blessing of God Almighty, the Father, Son and Holy Spirit be upon you and remain with you now and forevermore. Amen. We go in peace to love and serve the Lord. In the name of Christ. Amen.